As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to Love My Renovation Project. We discuss all things regarding renovation projects, whether either the 203K home style renovation mortgage, to name a couple. There's actually 9 different renovation loan products out there that we're aware of. There may be more than that, but I do have to let you know, for the last few weeks we've been down, just playing reruns, and the reason was our studios, friends that run our studio, and it's not our studio, run their studio, and we're on their studio, live in Paradise, California, and their home and studio got burned to the ground. So we're back up and running now, and we're here live today. So please, if you'd like to be part of the show, you want to call us at 888-627-6008, toll free, and ask your renovation questions. There seems to be a great deal of consultants thinking there is no work for them. Today is going to be mostly about consultants and what they can do to get more work. That's just because you're not marketing yourselves correctly, as you should be. There's always plenty of work for anyone who wants the work. Go to 203ksoftware.com and sign up for our training course for $489. It's not a big expense. It's less than it's only about 20% or 25% of a 203K project. All right, so we'll show you what you need to do exactly, and it works regardless of how many consultants are located in your area. You cannot have too many. In fact, the more you have in an area, the better it is, because you've got more people talking it up, and we'll show you how to have the better widget. Okay. Fannie Mae added manufactured homes to their renovation products earlier this year, provided the refinance or purchase includes the land. And, of course, FHA has had them for years. As long as the homes were built after the, I think it's the 15th of June, 1976. Well, most 203Ks and other renovation projects go off without a hitch. From time to time, you may find yourself with nobody to talk to on your side of the equation that understands the 203K. If you have a problem that you want to talk to me about on the radio and you don't mind doing that, please call us on any Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. for our radio show. If not, if you want to talk to me personally, just call me. Pick up the phone and dial it. I will ask you, do not send me an email and ask me to call you. I can't believe I still get about 30 emails a week where somebody picks the phone or sends me an email and says, here's my number. Some of them don't even give you the number. They just say, call me whenever you get a chance. Well, no, that's not the way it works. Here's the deal I make with everybody. If you want to talk to me, pick up the phone and dial it. I can pick up the phone and answer it. In a tenth of the time, it takes me to find your number and dial it and hope you're going to answer it. If you get a call from 775-413-0451, hey, everybody, that's me. So anyway, if you'd rather send in open a ticket on it, you can go to 203k911.com and tell us about your problem. Whether you're a homeowner or contractor, anybody in the equation can call us and talk to us, and that call is absolutely free. There's no charge for that. In fact, there's very little charges on that service. We only charge you if you ask us to physically get in there and do the work for you to get this thing straightened out. If you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, go to any of our websites and scroll down to send us a message. 203konline.com is a wealth of information for you. There's a procedure PDF. There's a, oh my goodness, I think 203K Basics is on there. If not, I'll double check this afternoon and make sure that it is does get on there. But it tells you what you can and can't do. So today is primarily for consultants. So on with the show. Let's see. Number one question we had this week from the audience is, our client is on a lagoon that is not large enough. Plus, he has termites and needs to get treatment provided and provide a clean report. You got to sometimes decipher what they're trying to say here so that I read it correctly. Does this need to be done before moving forward with the 203K process, or can it be included within the bids for the loan and the work be done during the draw process? Well, absolutely. That's what this loan's all about. Is let's go ahead and close the loan and get the work done as part of your 203K. So add it to your scope of work. So when your bids come in, it includes the work that needs to be done there. I recommend getting a termite report on every house. Whether you are a consultant or a homeowner, you know, I've bought and sold over 300 properties. I had a termite on every one of them, is my recollection. Very seldom do I not get a termite report at a minimum. My question was, I don't understand what the lagoon has to do with it. I don't know, how is it too small? So if you're listening to this, please give us a call and kind of clear this up for us, since you didn't do it in an email. I had one in near Sears Point in Marin County. Actually, I think it was in Novato, where the homes were on a lagoon. And then they found sometime after that an endangered turtle or salamander or something. And they could no longer maintain the lagoon as a lagoon. It had been damp with no water in it for years. Seems like it would kill off the protected species to me, but when I got there, there was no water in it. It was damp. And we reconstructed the pier, and the people would go out there and sit, just look for salamanders, I guess, or turtles, because they couldn't fish. There was no water. Anyway.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
We have a 203K project for $90,400. Lender wants me as a consultant to sign off an initial disbursement request form to release $45,200 before the work begins. Is that something I can do or not? Well, it is an odd request for sure. Sounds like this lender may have only been doing limited 203Ks and he's applying that guideline to this loan. Under this, a full or standard 203K, which this obviously is at $90,400, then the lender is not supposed to be releasing money without the work being accomplished. But when you're instructed to do so, they're entitled to, it's their money they're owning. So if it backfires on them and some contractor runs off, you just ran off with their money, not HUD's. So I would recommend doing what the lender asks you to do. And then just be sure that you cover yourself on page 2 of the draw request. You're going to check item number 4 instead of number 5. And you're going to say items in column 3 of the draw 1 are represent an advance per the lender's instruction. Okay, that way you're not sticking your nose out. But you will expect to see those things finished when you go out to do your second draw. And because you're taking a risk, I would charge them for the draw request, filling out the forms. Anyway, I had a contractor run off when he talked the homeowner into handing him $13,000 for the draw, and then the lender inadvertently mailed the $13,000 check directly to the contractor with only his name on it, and that contractor absconded. We haven't seen him since that happened. That's scary. So he'd do that for $13,000. What will this guy do for $45,200? I hope that he does the work and he's reputable in that case. Okay. When you next question that came in, can you do a 203K on a 1996 manufactured double-wide home? Mainly bathroom rehab and HVAC replacement is what's involved. Well, the question is yes, provided the land is owned as well as the unit, then you can rehab a manufactured home built after June 15th, 1976. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. I see a lot of people putting perimeter foundations under these houses, and that's all good. If they want to do that, that's terrific. But we had one years ago in Lincoln, California, and this thing was, it had a skirt around it, and all around the foundation was completely and completed as the instructions stated. We had an FHA engineer come out and review the foundation as it was, and they certified it to meet and comply with all HUD requirements, and the lenders instructed us, do not put a perimeter foundation under it. So we did. Just got to be sure and keep that record so that you know when you're told not to do something that seems to be contrary to your common sense or contrary to what you think the guideline says. Okay. Let's see. Also, is the next question, by the way, same people. Also, is the limit on swimming pools still $1,500? Actually, no. It's no longer, there is no limit on the repair of an existing pool under the FHA guideline. You can fix it for whatever it costs. So if it requires a new gunite job, have at it. If you have a client that wants a brand new swimming pool where none has existed before, all you have to do is switch over to the Fannie Mae Homestyle renovation mortgage product, and you can put in a brand new pool, barbecue pits, and other luxury items not allowed under the FHA program. So, anyway, please call in and be part of the show at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
Are you thinking of remodeling your home? Then you should know about the FHA 203K program. You can refinance your mortgage and get the money for that remodeling all-in-one low-interest loan. Need a roof? Remodel the kitchen and baths? Add a room? any of this is possible with the FHA 203K program. Go to 203KOnline.com. That's 203KOnline.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young. Call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the program. The next question that came in, let's see if I can read it, make sense out of it here. The strangest thing happened. When I downloaded this file to my computer, it deleted the last 5 years of 203K files. Any idea? Oh, this must be about our software. So first off, when you download the new software or any upgrade, it replaces your sample database. So if you're doing business in the sample database, then you did not follow instructions. But if you did, then that file is gone and lost forever. But chances are you didn't. And the first thing we tell you, anytime you're downloading an update, upgrade, getting the next version of our software, and there's still a lot of version 10s out there. All you people, if you're listening, you're way behind the times. Version 11 and all the way through what we're doing now, we're in version 16, of course. It signs the report. Version 10 didn't. So update your software. Egan, first of all, the files are not lost. You've just got to know where you stored them and show the new program, the updated program, where to find that original database. And once you do that, it'll open that database thereafter. Okay. In your case, you probably set it up to open the last file used if you have, and you haven't lost anything. Merely open the program and choose options. You'll notice the first box is checked that states open the last database used. And then you'll check the second, I want you to check the second box, so that it opens a specific database instead. Then browse over to where your original database is stored, select it, and forevermore, it'll open the right database. But your data is still safe. It hasn't been destroyed. It's on your computer. Now, if you don't know where you stored it, now that's a whole other problem. If you're dealing in any of the later versions of Windows, just go in the lower left and search for *.203k. And it'll show you all the files that are on your computer that are databases for our software. Find the one you opened last and double click on it. If you have a bunch of conflicted versions, that merely means that you are opening the file on two different computers at the same time. Shame on you. Can't do that. You do that, it'll create a conflicted database. So maybe only the conflicted database will have the latest updates that you've written. So try not to do that. Open one at a time. Anyway, I've had a lot of people, getting on to the next question, I've had a lot of people ask us, how do you organize your electronic files? Since mine impressed the FBI and the Inspector General years ago, I would think it would be a good way to maintain your data. Interesting. Still, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm going to have to talk to my editor here. We have recommended you add to the indemnity clause. The indemnity clause limits our exposure except for gross negligence and willful wrongdoing. That clause I added to my report goes something like this. Our limit for errors and omissions is limited to the cost of the respective report. Now, when I say respective report, there's two main duties of a consultant work write-up. One is you're supposed to be making a property inspection. A written report should follow that property inspection. That has a fee attached to it. I usually go about 40% of the overall fee, 40 to 50. Then you got to create a scope of work and your bid. That's where the other 45 to 60% of your fee goes to. So if you're being sued for some reason for willful gross negligence or willful misconduct, then you should actually, that's my fault, boys. Sorry, I hesitated. Then you want to be sure and bring this clause forward so everybody sees it. And before you go to court, just explain to them, you know, hey, which report was bad? Did you not like my home inspection part, or did you not like my bid specs? Because, and then negotiate. Give him half his feedback if that's what he wants. And save yourself the court time. That's what we would recommend. Okay, the next question that came in last couple of weeks is, it's my understanding that renovation should not start or continue without permits or insurance in place. I asked both the borrower and the contractor to stop work and contact me when they were issued. They have both been working all week. Well, that's correct. They should not be doing any work without permits in place. If they get caught, those permits are going to cost them double. Double. However, the consultant is not the policeman. How in the world, as a consultant, did you find out they were working without permit? Did you drive out there? Man, you got more time on your hands than I do. They're not going to get any money paid until they do have permits in place. So let's say they get a lot of work done, call you for a draw, and you say, where's the permit? And they don't have it yet. You say, well, I got to turn the copy of the permit in when I turn the draw in. But I wouldn't tell them that until after they've requested it, signed the paperwork, so you have proof you were there. And then I would turn it in to the lender and explain to the lender, here's my inspection report. There is no permits on site, but I've done my job. Send me my check. I wouldn't take any more responsibility for vetting the contractor or getting that permit. I actually added a comment to my scope of work that shows up near the end of where the contractor signs. It's my note number 5. It says, provide all permits required for this project and have on display at the first inspection to avoid delays in obtaining your first draw payment. The final signed off permit will be required prior to releasing the final draw payment, though they cannot be included as a bid specification line item. They should be identified so the lender can include them in the maximum mortgage worksheet and the recap of the subtotal. It's the only way we can pay those things is if the lender has put money aside for those things. So you want to be sure and let them know what those permits are going to cost. Here's a question from a brand new consultant. Where can I find info from HUD that states multi-unit homes could be converted 8-unit to 4 or 6-unit to 4, etc.? I want to start my seminar and I want to make sure that this can be done. I've spoken to 6 different lenders and they've stated this cannot be done. Please advise. Well, I've already talked to him, by the way, and got his straightened out, but I wanted to share that because there may be other people with that same question. Oh, that tasted good. I took a nice glass of cold water. Anyway, the 203K is for 1 to 4 units properties and mixed use properties. Once the project is complete, you're not going to find anywhere in the HUD guideline that says you can take 8 units and turn it into 4. It's not there. It's not in the guideline. What is in the guideline is that the program is for 1 to 4 units after the work is finished. Now, you're going to have to read into this a little bit, but we've been turning 6 plexes into 4 plexes, provided the zoning will allow it. Now realize, 5 units and more is a commercial building. 4 units and less is a residential building, a residential use. But mixed-use buildings are also under the HUD guideline. Da-da. Does this open your eyes? Okay. So, but you got to talk to them. You don't have to. The contractor or the homeowner needs to go down and talk to the building inspection department in the jurisdiction they're in and find out if the zoning would allow a fourplex. Or would the zoning allow a mixed-use building where we turn one of those units, if it's a fiveplex, turn one of those into a commercial unit, an office space or something like that, and the other four into residential? There's all kinds of possibilities, but you do not have to physically go down there. We took a gas station once that had been decommissioned long ago, and it turned it into a live-work situation where one of the bays was maintained as a garage. Another bay took the place, served as the client's space to do their sculptures. It was perfect for them. And they left the old gas station doors on there that were partially glass. It was perfect for them. So, but the front part of the house, they made it look that conformed to the residential street. If it can be done, what? Oh, I see. If it can be done, what lenders will do this type of financing? Well, if Fannie Mae can do one, they did one for me in California. I know they can do it in Rhode Island or anywhere else in the country. Any lender can do it, but you have to write it up correctly. If you present the problem incorrectly, no lender's going to do it, as you already found out. So you gotta present the problem correctly. I had one lender some time ago ask me to, I'll buy you lunch. I want to take you with me up to Petaluma and look at this school that's been converted to a house, and they want to convert it legally. But it's already being used. They want to add a proper kitchen, though. Get rid of the commercial kitchen that's in there and turn it into a regular residential kitchen. I said, well, you can do that. We don't need to go to lunch, and I certainly don't need to drive up there. If you want a feasibility, it's $350. It's not a lunch. Oh, come on, Mike. Let's go to lunch. We ended up going up there. I looked at everything. I said, okay, now I haven't changed my mind. It can still be done. Well, I've been turned down by four lenders. Well, how did you present it? You know, I don't know how you presented it. You're asking me, can it be done? Yes, it can be done. So I got on the phone, called a lender friend of mine, put it on a speaker, and I said, I need to ask you on the speaker in front of my loan broker who's going to broker this to you, can we do a conversion from a school to a single-family house, just exactly the same thing we are doing right now in Oakland, California? And the answer was, yes, absolutely. You know how to write it up, so just write it up correctly, and it'll go fly like an airplane. I said, okay, thanks. And I got off the phone. And then, of course, this broker says, well, how come four lenders told me no? And I said, because you didn't present it properly, apparently. You know? So I don't understand your problem. He said, well, what lender did it? And I told him. And he said, well, that's the first lender that turned me down. So he got right on the phone right there in that stupid mood that all of us get once in a while and got that lender on the phone and said, hey, this is so-and-so, and you told me you wouldn't do that loan. And the guy's comment was, okay, you're right. We won't do that loan. Hang up. And he hung up. So, you know, a lot of what you're doing is going to depend on the consultant's explanation of what it is you're doing. You know, you need to explain. The zoning has been checked. The zoning conversion to residential or mixed use is okay. The county has no problem with that. And we're going to be taking these eight units and turning it into four. So when we're all finished, said and done, it'll be four bedroom units and one three-bedroom unit or something like that. You just need to explain it in such a way that they can get around it, get their mind around what it is you're doing. You can't just go at them like you're trying to tackle them and expect the right answer out of it. How else could you present this thing? How about we talk about it as a multi-unit building and removing units to achieve the maximum morph for unit building size? I mean, there's... I got ahead of myself. The lender I was sitting in the car with asked the lender, okay, we've already done that. All right. Anyway, we're ready for a short break. Please call us 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. I know there's a lot of people out there with questions. Don't be afraid to ask them. We're not here to embarrass you, ever. If you got the question, you can believe there's at least 200 other people that have the same question and don't have the guts, I guess, cleanest way to say that, to ask the question. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you thinking of remodeling your home? Then you should know about the FHA 203K program. You can refinance your mortgage and get the money for that remodeling all-in-one low-interest loan. Need a roof? Remodel the kitchen and baths? Add a room? Any of this is possible with the FHA 203K program. Go to 203KOnline.com. That's 203KOnline.com. K911.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Hey, here we are back with you. Call us 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the program. Here's a thought for investors. We had one guy in a small town buy up all the tiny single-family residents he could find. These are what we used to call shotgun lots. They were 25 feet wide and 100 feet deep. And they had a house that pretty much covered the whole front all the way across, but there's no garage. So this investor came up with this idea, and he knew that as soon as he started doing this, he would have a lot of competition doing it. So he just went through the neighborhood in the little town of Rodeo, California, and he started making offers on any shotgun house that he could find. And what he did was he lifted it up in the air and put a garage underneath and then a little living area. So when you... then a porch that went upstairs directly for the masses that want to visit his house. But he could get up there with a garage, a single car garage, and he could make it two cars deep if he wanted to. And some places he did. Other places he made it one car deep and put on a downstairs room on the back of the garage. But you need to be creative. If you're going to be an investor, this is just one of the things that you can do and not have a lot of competition. Because not everybody's listening to this program, and that I don't understand. How anybody could not listen to this program. So we're full of ideas, full of a lot of things, according to some friends of mine. Anyway, the order of my files, getting back to a situation where we were filing, and years ago I had a FBI and the Inspector General send people out to my offices. And they wanted to review about five or six files that were done by one of two investor contractors. And they had been found to be committing fraud. At the end of their assessment of ours, they said, how is it that three other consultants did business with these people and there's fraud, riddled with fraud? And I said, because fraud requires the participation of all parties, and we don't participate in fraud. But they did. They were super impressed that when they asked for a file, my secretary could walk over, open the right file cabinet, pull that file out, lickety-split. And of course, they said, can we take these files home, back to our offices and go through them? And I said, no. At this point, you guys have been nothing but deceitful. You haven't made appointments when I asked you to. You didn't tell me who you were until you got here. So no file is going to leave my possession. However, there is a copy machine right there. You can feel free to use it. I'll even supply the paper and ink. But those files are not leaving my office, the originals. And they were happy with that. But the order of my files, let me read the question here. The order of my files just changed from numerical to the loan officer. How do I change it back numerically? Oh, I'm sorry. I see what this question is. It has to do with our software. So he has all these jobs in our software, and they were in there numerically, and now for some reason they're changed to the loan officer. They're in the order by the loan officer. Well, if you click at the heading of any of our headings, click at the top of that heading, and it'll rearrange it in that order. I found it real interesting to see who is my biggest customer. And by clicking at the top of the company name, the lender's name, I can see how many loans are coming in from the various lenders that we do business with. If I click on the loan officer's name, I can see what loan officers are giving me that business from these companies. Or I can just keep it. I don't worry about where it is. I'll click on the file number or the address. I file everything under the address numbers. But you can reorganize the entire list. You know, I've got 1,400 projects on the database that I'm currently using. And you just click at the top of one and instantly it reorganizes it with that function, with that heading. So it's very easy. If you wanted to go back to numerical, then just click at the top of the heading for your file number. Okay. You can export under our software. You can export your lender contacts, your contractor list, your loan officers. Sometimes it's nice to have a contractor list. If you take that contractor list, you can export it to a mapping program and you can see where all your contractors are actually located. So when you get an order in a particular area, you can plot that too and see which contractors are closest to it. If you have our software, I can show you a couple more tricks to find contractors easily in your software. Anyway. Yeah, next question that came in is, I have a project that I've made four revisions, which includes a contractor change and three bid changes. Apparently, the seller has made a lot of repairs after I did my site visit. Last night, I received another estimate that will require another major revision of the work write-up. And the lender is asking me if the repairs made by the seller are up to code. Well, that's a good question. It seems to me that I need to make another site visit and write a new work write-up, which would call for another consultant's fee. The buyer paid the first fee on the first site visit. What do you think? Well, that's a good question. Sometimes these people are relentless. They just don't know when to stop working on the house. Yes. You would need another site visit for sure. Otherwise, how do you know the things were done to code? And I don't know that I would even answer the question in that manner. We can see that they appear to be, but, you know, you can't see what's behind walls. Never could. But at a minimum, it's like a draw request and should have a similar cost to the client, in my opinion. And I'd collect it at the time of the next site visit or before. Send them a credit card thing and let them pay it, or send them a PayPal request for money and let them pay it before you even go out there. I don't want to argue with them at that point. You're telling them there's a fee. Secondly, the rewrite, if it's merely about removing some of the items that were completed, it's pretty simple. I don't know. You have to determine what time it took you and how much of that time should be charged to this job. $200 or $300 seems appropriate to me. So you're looking at a $350 trip charge, and then another $200 to change the work write-up again. So it's going to be almost as much as a new work write-up. There's no new inspection except for the items that they've done. So have the lender close the loan and check with them. Yeah, have them close the loan as written and leave all that money in. And then as you go out, they explain, well, this was done by the seller beforehand. Move that money to contingency. And that way you can save them having to pay you any more money and just take it out as a draw request item. The owner can call for a draw the day it closes or the day after it closes, but they still need permits in place, and there will be likely a delay in getting the first draw as it hasn't moved to the draw department yet. Next consultant question we had will be entertained right after we come back. So if you want to be part of the show, as always, please give us a call at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this last break of the day.
Are you thinking of remodeling your home? Then you should know about the FHA 203K program. You can refinance your mortgage and get the money for that remodeling all-in-one low-interest loan. Need a roof? Remodel the kitchen and baths? Add a room? Any of this is possible with the FHA 203K program. Go to 203konline.com. That's 203konline.com.
Hey, don't forget, call us if you want to be part of the show at 888-627-6008. That way you don't have to listen to me all the whole hour here. We had a consultant question come in. I can't find a file I was working on, and when I looked into the folder, there's a conflicted database. What do I do? Well, it looks like you may have opened the database and then not noticed it, and then reopened it again on the same computer, or you went to another computer and opened the same database. That's why when I send you a job to do, it's on a separate database with only that job on it, and it's in a folder with that job's name. And that way I put everything in that folder that comes in. If I have a contractor's bid, it's in there. Termite report, it's in there. So what happens if you open the database twice at the same time? Then you have it doesn't lose any data. It creates a conflicted database. So what you do is that one, if you're working, if you think you did it, then close the program completely, close all the databases, open the latest conflicted database, and go in to the project you were doing last. Once you do that, if all the data that you just input is there and you were the only one that actually opened both databases, then I would leave it open, go into where your databases are, and get rid of your original database because it's already there. It's in the conflicted database. Get rid of all those conflicted databases. Get rid of all of them. You will not be allowed to eliminate or delete the one that's open. So once you've got all the ones you can delete, deleted, then close the database that we're working in. Go back, find that database, and just lightly left click on it, and it'll become highlighted. And just go in there and delete all the information that says conflict the database, so it just says John Jones database, or whatever your name is, for those of you from Real Linda. Anyway, it's kind of maintenance of your databases, okay? But you don't want to do that. If you have a multiple inspector group and you need to work on different files at the same time, then you need to export the file to a file folder that is all by itself, and let your employees then can get into those files and work on them without creating conflicted databases. You don't want conflicted databases. They're a pain, and you have to search to see which one is the one you really want to keep to get rid of the conflict. But by exporting it, and for an employee who's working on 123 Any Street, you're going to export that off of your computer into that file, and now there'll be a database, and they can open that one without creating a conflict anytime and work on it while you're working on some other file in your database. Okay? That's the way you handle that situation. Next one. I have a project that finished up this summer and is going to arbitration. It finished, and now it's going to arbitration. That's odd. So the contractor decided to do additional work, which cost more money, on his own. He didn't ask me or the homeowner. He didn't get a change order signed. He just submitted an invoice at the end. And the homeowner is a single mom, school teacher who had no extra money and would not have accepted the extra work. As a concession, she allowed the change order to take all of the contingency reserve. She wants me to be a witness at the arbitration. At the arbitration is something that I can do as a HUD consultant. Is that something I can do as a HUD consultant? ? And is there anything else I can do? Well, first off, the contractor screwed up, didn't he? Remember those notes that I talked to you about earlier where I had note number 5? Well, one of those notes says you or the homeowner cannot make any change. I think it's note 8, that the homeowner and contractor cannot make any changes to the scope of work that aren't previously requested by the lender and approved by the lender or me. Now, some lenders have us do that approval because we are actually employed by the lender when they hire us to do the draw inspections. We don't work as a consultant. Our consultant job was finished the day they closed the loan. And if that's not clear in your client's mind, it can cause you headaches. I got a bad review once, and it's because the guy didn't understand that. He bad-mouthed me, and Yelp wouldn't change it because he said they're entitled to his opinion. I said, yes, but he's talking about how the contractor didn't show up to work. I'm not the contractor. It shouldn't be on my Yelp review. So, and it turns out he just didn't realize when my job as a consultant stopped and when my job as a inspector started. So I'm very careful now to clear that up right up front. But the contractor screwed up. In line item 35, I put a series of notes. One of them addresses this very issue. Check your line item 35 and verify that you're using our standard comments. If you're not, I'd recommend that you start doing it, because that alone would give the ruling to you or your client. If he did not seek your request, your permission to make those changes, then he is not going to get paid. And I believe that the arbitrator would actually find in your favor or the homeowner's favor. I must tell you this, too. If you ever have to go, or your client has to go to arbitration, when you get there, before any work is done and before any case is presented, explain to the arbitrator that they are arbitrators. They are not mediators. It is not their job to mediate this and assign guilt to one party or the other. They're arbitrators. And when it's finished, one party wins, one party loses. Make sure they understand that, because the last, I've only been on two arbitrations in my career. Well, three or four, actually, but I did those, and I didn't charge anybody anything. I just used common sense, and they were both willing to work with me. But the two that I had to take two arbitrators were a pain in the yin-yang, and the last one was just last summer or summer before last. And when it was all said and done, all he did was mediate. Said, you're both equally guilty. Split it. What? That doesn't arbitrate anything. That splits it. But arbitration typically runs $600 to $1,200 per the homeowner and per the contractor before it's ever done. So in the cases where I was able to do it for him, I said, you know, you guys are arguing over $100. $100. To fight for that, you're going to put up $1,200 to an arbitrator, and you're going to put up $1,200, and then they're going to decide who wins and who loses the $100. Doesn't make sense. Split it. Each of you bite the bullet for $50. So that's sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. I had a call from a lender that said he had a homestyle loan. It doesn't require a consultant. I just had a call from a lender, and he told me the homestyle loans don't require a consultant. Is that correct? Well, I can't lie to the lender. I said, yes, that is correct. That's a fact. However, there are many that do. The new VA renovation mortgage doesn't seem to require a consultant either, but some lenders are smart enough to require a consultant on every renovation project. So they have eyes and ears on the ground. It keeps fraud from happening unless your consultant is committing fraud with them. I used to refer about 24 loans a month to lenders that I do business with. The first one I sent to an old friend that was a homestyle, he didn't call me for the consultation. When I inquired about it, he informed me that he doesn't use consultants anymore on homestyle. I was a bit furious, and I've never done any more work with him. But I told him, I said, you think I brought that loan to you so that you could just dump me out of the deal? So if you're going to refer a loan to a lender or loan officer that it, you know, when it's called in to you, and they make sure there's a clear understanding that you are going to be the consultant. I was at a meeting with Prime Lending a few years ago. And they were in the audience. It's actually, they weren't hosting this thing. And afterward, they said, how can I get some of your leads? And I said, well, first off, do you use consultants on homestyle? He says, as of now, I will. And I said, good, send us some of those jobs. And we know you mean business. And we'll give you a lead and see what happens. Homebridge typically uses consultants on all of theirs, but not all of their loan officers do. So you want to be sure the loan officer you're working with does that. I don't know, but I think we're getting pretty close to running out of time here. I've got time for one more question. Mike, is there a way to remove the statement which appears on every first draw? Well, I put some standard comments to save you typing. Yes, you can go into the standard comments, delete any language you want, make the language your own language so it pops up next time. You can also do it in the PDF. It's a live PDF, so you can go right into that PDF, find the things that you don't want to do or don't want to say, and just highlight them and hit the delete button. And they'll go away. We're almost finished here. I would really love any information you can provide me on upcoming 203K classes. Watch 203konline.com. I'm going to be doing a class in Sunday, the 21st, I think it is, of January, just prior to the ASHI meeting. It'll be Sunday morning or Sunday early afternoon of the ASHI meeting. So we're going to be doing several classes. So join us and look for our websites for more information. See you next week, guys.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.